Welcome to the Dinfos Way podcast. I'm your host, Bill Rakoff, today, and I am an instructor with the Public Affairs and Communication Strategy Qualification course here at the Defense Information School. Great to have you with us on this very special episode where we've been focusing in our last couple of episodes on the social media forum that we've had here. We've had some tremendous speakers bringing the latest and greatest in terms of thoughts, best practices to the world, and our next guest is absolutely no stranger to that. He is known globally as a business consultant. He's an author. He's an educator. He hosts his own podcast, The Marketing Companion. Mark Schaefer is with us today. Mark, thank you for your time.
I am delighted to be here. It's an honor.
You get a lot of opportunities to come and speak to people, from educational groups to corporate groups, and you've dealt with them all. What's different about coming to a military installation?
Well, first of all, I'm honored. Yeah. I'm truly honored. And I've been to a few installations. I've done a workshop at the Air Force Academy. And it's just always very humbling to be in a place like this where integrity and honor still are at the forefront. And as an American, I love being in a place like this. And it's a way for me to come and talk to people and maybe just serve our country in one small way. So that means a lot to me.
And it's a big thrill for us to have experts of your caliber come here to the schoolhouse, because it is, you know, our mission to try to, you know, equip the students we have going out, whether they be the folks on the enlisted side over here are going to go out as, communication specialists, or on the enlisted side, if they're taking the public affairs or the advanced courses, what a better way to be able to give them the latest and the greatest that's going out there. And so it's to that end that we wanted to have you in here to talk with us today a little bit about, marketing in this digital age. And you gave a great presentation to the attendees at the social media forum. One of the things that you said right off the bat, and I'd like to start here, is something that, I've heard it before, I guess, but I think I need to be reminded, maybe many of us do too, is that in this world, marketing, traditional marketing is not what it used to be, or it's its own thing. Now marketing is happening organically, and 2/3 of it, as you pointed out, really isn't in your control, is it?
Right. I think that's kind of my purpose in the world right now, is to just give people a wake-up call. because I think, look, it's more than research. It's what we know. You know, I'll give you an example. Once the pandemic lifted, my travel started again, and I needed a new suitcase. And I remembered that a friend of mine had posted on social media that this was the greatest suitcase, and it had a lifetime warranty. And he's like a travel warrior. He loves all the little, all the geeky travel things he can get to make his travels easier. So I wrote him. I said, hey, like 2 years ago, you recommended this suitcase. What was it? He said, oh, it was blah, blah, blah. I went on the site and bought it. There were no ads. There were no coupons. There was no branded content. SEO didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was he is my friend and I trust him. And that's really where influence occurs today. Back, let's say 30 years ago, we needed advertising. We absolutely needed advertising. We needed marketing materials. But today, Bill, we live in a world where most people have the accumulated knowledge of the human race in the palm of their hands. They can make really good decisions. Their expectation of professional information, communications, and marketing is a lot different than it used to be. They need more from us. They need us to come alongside them at their point of need instead of, shoving ads in their face and interrupting them.
And a really important part of that is the trust issue that you mentioned in your talk to the attendees at the forum, in that, trust in brands, trust in government, trust in agencies, trust in the news media, mm-hmm. is all down. So the trust now is among each other. And so, and as you said, you bought a suitcase based on the recommendation of your friend. You trusted him.
I mean, if I saw an ad and the suitcase said, we're the best suitcase, I kind of roll my eyes and think, yeah, that's what I expect you to say. But what we see here is that the customer is the marketer. And really, to be effective today, we have to create content and ideas and experiences that are relevant to people, that are unmissable. Maybe they're entertaining. Maybe they're helping people grow in some way. And then they take these ideas and they spread it to other people. And that's really how influence occurs today.
One of the things that I took away from the comment too is that as we apply that into our social marketing and how we're going to reach out to people, you bring up the sense of and the notion of community. And you made the suggestion that a lot of us don't use that word correctly. Mm-hmm. And in the sense that just because we have an audience does not necessarily mean we have a community. Could you explain that?
Yeah, a lot of people use that interchangeably today, unfortunately. So an audience is great, by the way. I mean, an audience means a relevant group of people that have opted in to your content. So if they have subscribed to this podcast, you've got an audience. And that is fantastic because in a virtual way, people are raising their hands saying, I believe in you. I want to know more. I want to hear more about what you're doing. It's important to me. That's amazing. But it's one way. If you go away, if the show goes away, the audience goes away. Mm-hmm. The next step is really thinking about, can you move that audience into a community? And the difference is the members of the people who listen to my podcast or read my blog don't know each other. But when they know each other in a community, then a new bond occurs, not just with you, but with each other. When I was writing my book, Belonging to the Brand, here is something I learned that was really rather profound. When people form bonds in a community, friendships, maybe they co-create things together, collaborate together, that emotional goodwill spills over to the organization. It almost suggests successful community building means putting the emphasis on creating friendships and bonds in the community more than creating the bond to yourself. If you create collaboration and friendships in a community, then you're creating a layer of emotional switching costs. People are never going to leave your business or your organization because that means leaving their friends. They're not going to do that.
This may sound like apples and oranges, and if so, please tell me. But in the macro sense, isn't that why for a lot of people it's hard to walk away from things like Facebook and other social platforms where they've reached out and connected with friends from years past that they otherwise wouldn't have caught up with?
That's 100% correct. I wrote years ago, well, this is sort of weird. I haven't thought about this in a while, but on the day Google Plus was introduced, I was the only blogger in the world that said, it's not going to work. Because people were going crazy over Google Plus. This is going to be the great Facebook killer. And what I said was, it's easier to move to a new home in a new city than to move away from Facebook. Because that's where you've built all your assets. That's where you have your friends, your family, your games, the pictures of the kids. That's where you have your little networks and you know the games that you play. And to move to Google Plus, you'd have to, it's not just you. You've got to move the network. You've got to move the whole thing. And it's just not going to happen. And ultimately, that's why it just didn't work. So I think your observation is absolutely correct.
And I guess maybe in a contemporary sense, that's what we're seeing a little bit with the platform formerly known as Twitter with X and a lot of people migrating over to Meta's Threads app and, you know, took off with great promise with a lot of people just kind of wanting to ditch that platform. But, you know, they've had a plateau, right?
Look what happened to Threads. Same thing. They've lost 82% of their active users in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Same thing. right? You know what I mean? And if you love Twitter or hate Twitter or whatever, or X, I guess.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of people still, that's where they have their things. That's where they have their stuff and their conversations and their friends. And so it's hard to move, especially when Threads hasn't introduced anything really new. There's no new IP. There's no new functionality. Just like, I don't think, I hate Twitter. I don't think that's a business case that can drive a new platform.
You're listening to the Dinfo's Way podcast with our special guest, Mark Schaefer, who's a globally recognized marketing consultant, guru, author, educator, spoke at the Dinfo's social media forum here. And so now let's apply this to the military sense. Obviously, we're talking about community. We're talking about human connections. One of your parting shots at the forum was be more human. But how do you do that across military communications and social media? I would imagine that, you know, there are some different challenges than would be in say, the mainstream business community.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Okay. I mean, I think one of the commonalities is that people are people. Psychology is psychology. People respond to the, you know, things the same way. And I think the military, I think in most cases, has done a very effective job with recruiting, and that's really about an emotional connection. It could be, you know, just forming an emotional connection and trust in a recruiting professional. So what's the difference between sort of like showing up that way to, you know, an 18-year-old kid and a community or the public? Really, my view of being more human is just showing up at your best in a more amplified and maybe methodical way. And so I don't think it's – now, there are certain cases, of course, where there's sensitive information or people have to work in a way that's rather secretive. Well, that's not going to work, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you are working in a way that has a – you know, you're public facing and you have certain latitude to do that. Here's an example that I have in mind. One time I had someone in my class that said they worked for a wealth management company, and they said, well, we're highly regulated. There's lots of things that we can't say. They won't even let us have a LinkedIn account. And I said, well, will they let you, you're trying to build your business, will they let you go to a networking meeting at a chamber of commerce? Why, yes, of course. You mean they don't give you a script? No. Well, then why won't they let you be on social media? Your HR policy is our employees are idiots. We don't trust them. So, I mean, there's got to be a certain point where you say, look, there might be mistakes, but if we trust our employees to represent us in public at a meeting, why not let trust them to represent us on social media too?
We are teaching a class currently right now, the Public Affairs and Communication Strategy Qualification course. And one of the things that we do is these are for up-and-coming military public affairs officers, and sometimes we get returnees who are already in the fleet and field doing the thing. But you know, one of the things we talk about is winning, you know, sometimes battles for hearts and minds, because that's part of the game.
Sure,
in social media, particularly if you're in a foreign position, and sure, a lot of our students are. So are there any suggestions, tips, things you can do, especially if you're dealing with an audience that's not necessarily your own, not necessarily American, and you're introducing yourself as the U.S. military to somebody who either, A, just didn't know or didn't care about you in the past?
Yeah. Well, if they don't care about you in the past, maybe they won't care about you in the future either. I mean,
oh, well, that's all the time we have for today.
Yeah, there are certain audiences that, you know, you just got to say, move on.
Right.
But, I mean, what my view is it's like you said a little bit earlier, Bill, that all the research points to this fact that trust in government and trust in media and trust in a lot of authority figures, it's just gone down. It's just gone down year after year after year. However, people do trust each other. We trust our neighbors. We trust our friends. We trust our family. And guess what? You know, people in the military, they're also neighbors. They're also friends. They're also family. And I think it's maybe just a different sort of mindset. Instead of saying, you know, I'm a spokesperson for the military, you say, I'm part of this community. I've got something to give. We want to be here in a helpful and generous way. I'm going to show up like a human being, and I think people will appreciate that.
Again, Mark Schaefer is joining us here, business consultant, author, marketing expert, educator, joining us on the DINFOS Way podcast, and was a featured speaker at the DINFOS social media forum. Let's get into AI before we get out of here.
In our last 90 seconds.
Let's get into AI. No, we've got a little bit more time than that. I think I'll give you 3 minutes. But in any case, it's now the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It's certainly not going to go away. We are learning to embrace it here in the schoolhouse and across the military in terms of what we can and what we can't do with it. But from a marketing and a social, and particularly a social media standpoint, how big an impact is it having now, do you think? And what's it going to do in the future?
Last November, when ChatGPT came out, I wrote words I've never written before. And it was this: the world of marketing was changed forever. Even when the internet was introduced, it took us years to really figure out how that was going to be integrated into business. Even social media, it took us years to figure out. Obviously, when you can unleash artificial intelligence on the world in a way that's as easy to use as Google, a Google search, that is really profound. I think it's going to take us a generation to really figure out. I think if ChatGPT stopped development right now, it would take us 5 years to really figure out everything it can do, even at this point. But that leads, I think, to the most important point, and it's this, that it's not just the technology, it's the speed of development that's really changing everything. Being effective as a communication, PR, marketing professional means being relevant. It's a journey of continuous relevance. We used to be able to see irrelevance come at us. Oh, it's the internet. Well, let's take some classes and learn. Maybe I'll even write some code. Artificial intelligence is moving so fast. We just have to look at the waves coming at us and just say, how do we catch that wave? How do we be relevant this month? Because next month there's going to be another wave. I mean, I've never had such a period in my career where I say, oh, wow, every day. I mean, there's just something significant and profound that is jaw-dropping every day. And
is that exciting to you, or is it scary to you, or is it a mix?
Yeah, everybody I talk to says the same thing. It's exciting and terrifying. And I think that's an appropriate response, because I think, you know, the thing that's exciting about it to me is that AI is to content creation. It's like the calculator was to math. It makes everybody competent. So even if you're not a good photographer, you can create great images. Even if you're not a great writer, you can write in a competent way. That's amazing to me. I have a friend, she's not a very good writer. She said, I can blog every day now. I can put my ideas into here and I'm not embarrassed. That's just wonderful. I mean, it's just amazing. But then you think about, you know, the terrifying part, and this is something obviously all of your listeners are going to be dealing with, is the opportunity for deepfakes and misinformation and disinformation. And I think the thing that we have to be very, very aware of every moment of our professional lives and every moment of our personal lives is that every technology eventually is weaponized. And that's what's going to happen here too. And for public affairs professionals, communication professionals, you know, terrifying should be the right word, because this is going to be the new challenge facing you every single day.
And I was struck by something that you said because, and I, forgive me, I don't remember the name of the gentleman you quoted in the presentation, but said that you know, with the advent of all of this stuff, here was a guy who was an expert, you know, himself in his own right, speaker, that sort of thing. And he says he felt like he was 80% replaced,
yeah,
by this. But I loved your point at the end of that.
Yeah. Well, that's the terrifying part.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But here's the exciting part. 20% isn't replaced, and that's you, right? That's your personality. That's your personal brand. What do people love about you? Why do they trust you? That is the greatest opportunity for communications and public affairs right now, is that in this world of misinformation and deep fakes, can you develop, can you become the resource? Can you create a community where people will come to you and say, I don't know what's true, but I know I can come here because I know you and I trust you. That's the 20% AI can never touch.
One of the questions we always ask at the end of the podcast is, what does the DINFOS way mean to you? And, you know, as somebody who's, you know, not maybe familiar with DINFOS in our way, let me phrase it to you this way. Mm-hmm. What should the DINFOS way be about as it pertains to the subject matter we've been discussing over the past couple of days here?
Well, I hope it's progress through truth. And what I'd love to see really, you know, I wrote a book called Marking Rebellion, and the subtitle of the book is The Most Human Company Wins. I believe this with all my heart, but it's not, it's The Most Human Symphony Wins. It's The Most Human Insurance Company Wins. It's The Most Human Nonprofit Wins. And I think for your professional communicators, if they can really show in a genuine human caring way, they're going to win too. So that would be my hope, my wish for DINFOS.
Mark, how can people find you?
Really easy. You don't have to remember my name or how to spell it. You just have to remember Businesses Grow. If you can remember Businesses Grow, you can find my blog, my podcast, my books, and all my social media connections. And if you follow me on LinkedIn, I follow everybody back, and I'd love to connect with your listeners.
Mark Schaefer has been with us here today, guest speaker at the Social Media Forum, and taking the time to join us here on the podcast. Thank you very much, sir. It was a privilege to have you at the schoolhouse.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
So thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll listen to future episodes. Today's a program produced by Mr. Christopher Diamond. My name is Bill Rakoff, and I'm a public affairs instructor here at DINFOS. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you have a pleasant day. This is the DINFOS Way.